It's that time of year again, isn't it? January, New Year's resolutions, change. Why do we call it New Year's resolutions when it's probably more accurate to call it January resolutions? Huh? They don't tend to last more than a few weeks, do they? What if I told you that this morning there are some individuals here who are on a 22-year resolution? See, January 7th is an important date in Southridge's history. January 7th, 1996, was the first Sunday that Southridge had public services where they invited people to come. 22 years ago today, we met in a gym next door at Langley Christian. There was 50 of us. 50 people showed up that first Sunday. Pam and I, we were 24 years old, barely married, and we were part of that team, that group that came together to launch a new church in Murrayville. And on that Sunday, 22 years ago, it was like we were making a resolution. We were answering in our lives a call from God to leave our mother church and go into this new, unknown, exciting environment. We were all excited, and we launched. Here's the thing. Every single one of us this morning has an anniversary date with Southridge. Some of us, we measure that anniversary in decades. Some of you measure it in years. Maybe some of you measure it in months. And there might even be some this morning that measure it in days. But we all have an anniversary date with Southridge. So we all have common ground here this morning. And when we launched 22 years ago, there was a couple of guiding themes, couple of things that we knew to be true as a church. And over the last 22 years, we've talked about it over and over again at different times. And that first one, and there's some passages in Scripture that seem to pop up more often than not, especially when I'm preaching. But the first one would be Matthew 22, 37 to 39. That's the great commandment where we're told to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind and love our neighbors as ourselves. Another key passage in Scripture that helps guide us as a church is Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It's the passage where Jesus gives the marching orders for the church to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them the commands of Jesus to obey, and God's and Jesus' promise that he would be with us always. Those two things form the foundational statements of our mission statement, which is combining both those things together simply to say we exist as a church to love God and change the world one life at a time. And yet there are some other things. When you're at a church long enough, you realize that there are some other verses that give churches flavor. And one of the verses that has always flavored us over the 22 years of our existence has been Philippians chapter 1, verse 5. Let me read it for you this morning. I'm going to start actually at verse 4. And in verse 4, the Apostle Paul is talking to the Philippian church, and he says this: in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. So he's excited when he remembers the Philippian Christians, and this is why. Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. That word partnership was a word that we really clung to as a church. And those 50 people who met on that first Sunday, which turned into a few more people throughout that year, really rallied around that idea of partnership. And just like Paul was thankful to the Philippians for their partnership with him in spreading the gospel, we understood that as a church, we weren't members. We weren't people that signed up and paid some dues and came and sat in chairs and just took in everything. We were partners together. That group of people that started and planted Southridge knew that if this church was going to thrive, this church was going to survive, this church was going to make an impact, we actually had to come together, not as members, but as partners, working together to see what God would do in us and to see what God would do through us in the community of Murrayville and Langley. In that first year, 1996, when all is said and done, is we had 61 partners that joined the church that year. And over 22 years, God has called some of those partners home. God has called some of those partners to move to other areas of the world. Some even went back to our mother church. And of those 61, there are 18 still here at Southridge. And so this morning, I want to thank those 18. So Pam, Gary, Sharon, Carl, Julie, Clint, Sherilyn, Maxine, Mark, Karen, Manuel, Sylvia, Eric, Wayne, Joy, Allison, Sherilyn. Thanks for your partnership from the very first day. Thank you for partnering together when this church was just a dream and then it became a reality. Thank you for leaving the safe and the secure of another church to start and launch something that you had no idea how it would turn out. Thank you. Thank you for being willing to listen to God and obey God's call on your life to leave the comfortable and boldly step out into something new. Thank you for doing that. You see, if we stop at verse 5, we miss what verse 6 says in Philippians 1:5. Because Paul goes on after saying he's so thankful and joy-filled because of their partnership, he says this, being confident of this, that he, and he's referring to God there, that God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying there, and it's something that we have always held as an assumption here at Southridge, is that God is continually working. When he says, being confident that he who began a good work will continue it, means that God is always working in our lives. God is always working in our church, even if we can't see him doing it. We know he is working, and that has been an underlying premise for us at Southridge, because we believe without a doubt that God is working. And yet, it is sometimes good to pause for a moment and reflect and remember the past. Because it is in those moments of reflection and in those moments of remembering that we truly understand how God works. Oftentimes in the present, we don't see it. And oftentimes in the present, we go along and we forget how powerfully God has moved. And it's only when we look back are we reminded of what God has done in our lives. At the beginning of December, I stood on the stage and I asked you to consider a couple of challenges. The first one I asked you to do was to pray that God would reveal in your life, in your sphere of influence, in your family or in your neighborhood or in your coworkers, someone you could invite to our Christmas Eve services. And you guys responded. In the three services that we held, which was a first for us, first time doing three services, we had 940 people come on Christmas Eve. 940. That's slightly a little bit more than 50. Right? Isn't it amazing how God works? Thank you for taking that challenge seriously. I was talking to one guy after one of the services, and he doesn't even come to our church. And he was introducing me to five people that he had invited from his workplace that had shown up. Like, think about that for a second. Only God does that kind of stuff, right? Doesn't call Southridge home, but he's bringing five people to church with him. Isn't that crazy? That's awesome. That's something to thank God for. It shows that God is working. Second challenge that I gave at the beginning of December was I asked you to consider if God would lay it on your heart to give, to help us to reduce our debt. This is phase one of two phases, and we moved in 6.5 years ago, and there's a lot of areas in our building that are at capacity. Some of them aren't quite yet, but we need to start thinking that, and one of the steps is we have to reduce our debt to zero before we really get on to phase two. And we have, I think in the beginning of December, is about $542,000 in debt still. And so many of you responded in giving through December, and I just want to let you know that at the end of December, we had 100, and let me just find my notes here, make sure I get the number right. I don't want to, actually, I think it's on the screen. That'll be easier. $126,325 given. So thank you. Thank you for listening to God, to those of you who gave. Thank you for responding in that way. Isn't that amazing? Like, just think about that. That $126,000, it kind of rolls off really quickly off the tongue, but that is an enormous amount of money, isn't it? Okay, maybe you guys live in a different income bracket than I do, but it is to me. So I think it is awesome. And I don't know if you guys are just dumbstruck or just like, wow, because normally that would be like clapping praise God moments in time, right? Thank you. Thank you for responding in that way. Over 22 years, there's been a lot of messages given in our church. There's been a lot of message series. And other than probably the Taboo series, which is one of our most popular series and engages people all the time, one of the most popular series we've ever done, and I still get comments from it 4.5 years later, was a series we did called Be Bold. And in that series, as a church, we were challenged in a number of areas to step out and be bold for God. And there was a number of stories that came out of that time period in our church's history, and including even on our own staff. Our director of operations, Brian, was working in the corporate world at that time that series was going on. And in one message, he clearly heard God say, okay, it's time to leave your job. And it led Brian to go through a series of things, and ultimately it actually led him to come on staff as our director of operations here. But there is countless stories of that occurred through that series, and God moved powerfully in that series. And so in thinking that through and in planning this coming month, I thought, you know what, it would be good to revisit that series. Although, because the first time we called it Be Bold, we had to do something a little bigger, right? So this one is actually bolder. Since we're already been called to be bold, we have to even get bolder. And so over the next 4 weeks, we are doing a church-wide series where this teaching on Sunday morning, both in the kids and in the auditorium, is going to be the same. And in the youth on Wednesday night, we're going to have the same messages with the same themes, with the same big ideas. And our whole church is going to go through this series over the next 4 weeks. This Sunday, though, is a Sunday of preparation. Because I truly believe that God is working all the time, but I also know this, that I tend to see God working in my life and I tend to see God working in our church more when I prepare myself to hear from him and when I prepare myself to see what he is doing. And so this morning I want to leave with you one verse to consider and to pray about. And it's found in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. It says this, and I want this, I'm asking you to make this your prayer this morning for you and your prayer this week and even this month. Pray this to God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a scary prayer if you really want to think it through and if you really want to pray it authentically before God. There's three things here that I think just bears a little highlighting. Search me, test me, lead me. I'm asking you to pray to God that he would search your heart to see where you truly are at. To really reveal to you whether you're really sold out to him, whether you're really committed with your life to following Jesus, or if you're only half-heartedly doing it right now. Or maybe even for some of you, you're not at all following Jesus. And I challenge you to pray this prayer anyways to see what God would say to you this morning, this week, and over the next 4 weeks. For others of you, it's probably going to be that test me piece. Because when we pray test me, what does that mean? It means that God is going to test us. He's going to maybe put us in some uncomfortable positions over the next month to see really where we're at, to see really if we're truly willing to follow him, even when we're not sure where it leads, even when it might be a little bit difficult on us. That's a tough prayer to pray. And then the last one is, lead me. For some of you over the next month, God wants to lead you somewhere. And I'm just asking that you would be open to hearing where he may lead you. So please consider praying this prayer today. Search me, test me, lead me. Because ultimately what the psalmist says, I think, when we do those, when we pray this prayer, it leads us to knowing God even more fully. And so over the next 4 weeks, I'm asking you to give God a chance to speak to you. Prepare yourself to hear from him. I want you to ask the question, ask God, where do I need to be bolder in my life? Where do I need to be bolder in my life, God? Show me over the next 4 weeks. Show me as we talk about why we can be bold. Show me as we remind ourselves that God calls us into obedience. Show me, God, where I can be bolder with those in my life who don't know Jesus yet. Show me, God, how I can be bolder even when I'm afraid. Afraid to step out and be bold. Show me. That's my prayer for you this morning. I'm going to call up the worship team and they're going to lead us in a song of worship and continually bringing us into God's presence. And then after that, they're going to give us a time to just reflect and pray. And I'm going to ask you that during that moment, during that time when it's going to be quiet in here other than the team playing, that you really just focus on praying that prayer. God, search me, test me, lead me. And just prepare yourself for the coming month as I challenge you to step out bolder in many areas in your life. And I pray that as I challenge you, God will speak both through his words and the words that he gives me to really impact your life. Because God is always working. And may you be prepared for God's work in your life over the next 4 weeks. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we've been in your presence this entire time. And so, Lord, as we enter kind of this last part of the service, Lord, help us to search you. Lord, help us to pray this prayer of search me, test me, lead me. Lord, I pray that this would be an authentic prayer from our church this morning. Lord, I know you're working already. May you continue to work, and Lord, allow us to see how you want to work in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.